Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. You got socks on today, Key? You got shoes? Or you? No. You know, I used to get pedicures when I lived out in L.A. for those 6 years, because you gotta keep your feet looking right.
Gotta be right.
Key, I haven't had my feet looking right since I left L.A.
My feet.
I just let it go.
The bottom of my feet so smooth, man. I'm sliding off my sheets.
Tickles when they do that, when they do the desk.
Hey, yo!
You didn't even catch that, though, Max.
Huh?
You didn't even catch that.
Yes, I did.
There's so,
nothing wrong with that. You made an analogy to point out how.
I said, no, I don't. Should it be, no, I do not? Which one should it be?
Either one.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. You know, just want to make sure, English major, you know?
I was a history major, and they're both correct.
I'm just saying, because I was going to say, who said that? who said it was wrong? Who said I couldn't say it that way?
You really want to know the moment at which something became codified, right, and yes. Considered correct.
Don't, do not. All, like.
Don't and do not are both correct.
No,
the apostrophe takes the place.
Oh, God.
But is it correct? All right. I brought this up last segment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into it now. KJM, presented by Progressive Insurance. So the Giants signed Daniel Jones. The average annual value of the contract is what you predicted it would be, Key, low 40s. The actual guarantee was lower than I thought it would be. I want to say it was 80-something million, 83 million. Pretty good.
It was a month ago, man. I don't even remember.
Daniel Jones had the highest QBR in football starting the last month of the season, right? Like from the last month of the season on, had the highest QBR in football, did everything right to win games, wound up winning a playoff game on an undermanned team, and has a well below top of the market contract and a modest guarantee for a quarterback. That's not a bad deal for the Giants, but quarterbacks get paid, and the actual best player on the team is Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley could really throw the football, the Giants would have their, you know, max contract franchise quarterback, but he can't. He's a running back, and he's, you know, they use him a lot, and he has been hurt, and no one pays the running back. So the Giants have a certain number in mind. It's different than Saquon's number. Saquon's trying to be reasonable. Look, I don't need to get paid at the top of the market. I want something fair. He doesn't feel the Giants put their best foot forward, obviously. He will not sign the franchise tag. They franchised him.
Nor should he.
And he's not going to sign the franchise tag before the Giants offseason program starts.
Nor should he.
You want to hear what Shefty had to say about it?
Sure.
It's from the 6 o'clock Sports Center last night.
There is a contract standoff here in New Jersey. The two sides are not close to an agreement. And with Saquon Barkley unwilling to sign that franchise tender right now, that means he can't participate in the offseason program that gets underway on Monday. Daniel Jones can be there because Daniel Jones, the quarterback, signed in lucrative offseason contract extension. But there's no deal for Saquon Barkley. There's no deal close to happening for Saquon Barkley. And as long as that's the case, and as long as he's unwilling to sign that franchise tender, he cannot attend the offseason program, which I'm sure is just fine by him. The two sides will have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. We'll see if they can do it, but you won't be seeing Saquon Barkley in New York anytime soon.
So, Key, it seems to me that much as I'm telling everyone, look, the reason the Rodgers trade hasn't happened yet is because if you're the Packers, you know we're not going to get the Jets' best and final offer until right before the draft. Then we'll know that's the best offer they're going to make. Well, but at that point, you make a deal. Saquon's leverage is never going to be higher than it's about to be, right, with the Giants, because the Giants won a playoff game. They made improvements in the offseason. Saquon is the engine of the offense. They're going to want him ready to go this season. So right now is his leverage to work something out. He can't sign the tag, right? Can't do it.
No. Why would he sign? Because if he signs the tag, then that's the number that he plays under. Mm-hmm. Why would he do that? You know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Not only that, when you talk about these contracts and these negotiations, Max, it's just not about the money. It's about the structure of the deal. What's in the deal? Well, how are you paying me out? Is it present value? Are you giving me most of my money in the first year and a half? Or are you trying to string me out? Are you paying me less money here? Or do you have clauses in there? Is there forfeiture language in there that if I decide that I want to go on a snowmobile and if I got hurt, this voids out? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in these negotiations that are never really talked about. The only thing that's talked about is the number, the total number. But there's a lot of details in these contracts that players don't want. And they try to get them removed. You know, maybe he wants voidable year. Maybe he wants a no franchise tag after 2 years. We just don't know. And so I think, again, it's the offseason. First of all, no player in the National Football League wants to be in offseason conditioning. Why would you? You could do this at home. You could do this at your local gym and be around your family, where you come from and not the city you play in if you choose to do so. And so when you look at it, he's not missing any time. The first time that he'll touch the football field or any player touch a football field where it means something will be in September. So they got time. This is not like last year when they were installing a new system and he needed to understand the run fits and the run game and the blocking and the protections. This is not that. He's going into a second year of the same system. So he's on repeat mode. I'm fine with whatever he's doing right now.
Did the Giants make the right choice giving Daniel Jones the contract and franchising Saquon, do you think?
Okay, so the way that I look at it, there's two deals. One for Daniel Jones, one for Saquon Barkley. They were trying to get a deal done with Saquon Barkley early on if they wanted to franchise Daniel Jones. It didn't happen. So those two deals are on a conveyor belt. They're just going around and around and around. It's like a merry-go-round. Somebody eventually is going to stop. Who's going to grab it? Then it's going to start back up again. Daniel Jones grabbed it, and it kept rolling. And then they said, well, we're going to franchise tag Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley would have grabbed it, then they would have franchised Daniel Jones. That is the way it always is when you have two players that they want to keep that are coming up at the same time.
And I'll say this if I'm Saquon, right, from Saquon's point of view. Look, the quarterback gets paid a lot different than the running back, much differently than the running back. Running backs get jobbed by the whole system because they get used up on their first contract. And then, you know, your real guarantee is based on the horizons that they forecast for you. How much longer can he do this at this level? Because then they can divvy up the guarantee over that many years and it helps the salary cap, right? If they don't think you have a lot of good years left in you, they're not going to give you the huge guarantee. So that's the reality of the situation. But, Key, if I'm Saquon and he sent out a tweet, happy for Daniel Jones, that's his dude, he's so happy he got his contract, congratulating him, it's the right thing to do. I'm sure he feels that way. But at the same time, just imagine being him. Saquon Barkley was the guy most responsible for the success that the Giants had. If you had to just pick one player, okay? Daniel Jones played excellently. I was very happy with Daniel. But Saquon Barkley is also a better player than Daniel Jones for his position. He's a better running back than Daniel Jones is a quarterback. He ranks higher among all running backs in the league than Daniel Jones does among the quarterbacks. So imagine being Saquon and you see that's your dude. You two work great together, the whole thing, and you know he's a quarterback. But damn, he just got 80-something million guaranteed over the next couple seasons. And you're there going, am I going to play for 10? Or can I get a few more dollars out of these guys?
Well, he's going to get a few more dollars out of them. And because 10 is only the tag number. That's not what they offered him. You know, and so that number's are the average is already above the 10. It's already above that. And so for him and them, they've got to come to some sort of agreement on the structure of the deal along with the increase in the average salary, as well as the money that he's going to see in the first several years of the deal. It's not a difficult deal to do. And I bet you they're not far apart.
Oof, look at these.
They're not far apart. They just – it's some stuff in there. You know, there's some injury protections in the offer, I'm sure, because he's been hurt. He doesn't probably want the injury protections in there. And if there's injury protections in there, they want to minimize them. And the Giants want to increase them. I mean, all of those sort of little things are in these deals, man. It's not as simple as, you know, I need Christian McCaffrey money or I want Zeke money. And the Giants are sitting there saying, okay, we'll give you that, but we want this, 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 and this. And him and his representative saying, no, 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 no.
You know something else about Saquon Key? I know this is an oversimplification, but if I say left tackle, you usually think pass protection. If I say right tackle, you usually think, you know, you associate it with a lot of stuff, but run blocking, right? Not, I understand it's not that simple, but the tackle position is a skills position. Usually the guy doesn't come right out of college and he's all pro. Usually it takes a year or two for them to really learn left tackle, right tackle, especially left tackle, you know, to be the best version of themselves. Andrew Thomas, who they drafted fourth overall, right, is an all-pro level left tackle now, did not start out that way. Evan Neal, who they drafted high up this past season as a rookie right tackle, they moved him because they have Thomas, is, you know, that's really where you think about run blocking more, did not have a great season because he's a rookie. He was a turnstile sometimes. But he's the type of dude with high upside. And a lot of times in year two, the tackle makes a real step forward. Saquon did all of that last year without behind an offensive line that was not great. It was better than it had been, but not great. Evan Neal takes another step forward because by the end of the season, Saquon was pretty beat up. Evan Neal takes another step forward. Saquon looks next year consistent all the way through the season like he did early and middle of last season. Man, the things he can do. But the Giants know they may never have to really pay for it. It's the nature of the position. Hopefully they get something done. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. What's Aaron Rodgers worth right now?
We still talking about him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're about to be talking about him a lot when the Jets, you know, take him from the Packers. But some people are suggesting the Jets should give up the 13th overall pick in the draft for Rodgers.
Not a chance. Not going to happen.
Key doesn't believe that's the case. What do I think? What do you think? 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Would you trade the 13th pick in the draft for Aaron Rodgers? KJM.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by a man who has witnessed quite a back and forth between Rob Ninkovich and me
really
yesterday.
Got hot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter.
You guys cared.
Rob was trying to tell me that the Packers have all the leverage, and I'm like, what are you – once Rodgers said that he wanted to go to the Jets, that somehow gave the Packers leverage. I'm like, what are you – anyway. Jeff, I understand that you overheard our, or you were listening when we were arguing about, or somehow.
I was just brought into this mess.
People were yelling at me about putting on chapstick. Apparently, I need to be putting on lip balm, not chapstick.
No, I think it's the other way around. Chapstick's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between lip balm and chapstick?
Not really.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
There is. Absolutely. Isn't absolutely. Lip balm like
one comes out in a tube and is a little more spreadable?
Is lip balm generally used by women?
No.
Isn't it glossy? Like,
yeah, but that's okay.
No,
you
that's
apply,
lip gloss.
You don't have to apply a massive amount.
But what do you use? What do you use lip balm for? What is your purpose? When I use chapstick, it is because the wind has chapped my lips to the point of discomfort.
Yeah.
What do you use lip balm for?
It's a thick barrier between you.
The same thing, but also to moisturize the lips. Jeff, I am a lip balm connoisseur. Okay.
By the way, I use both.
So
I've
you just
both,
like to moisturize your lips. You do have wonderful lips. I don't think I've ever looked at Keisha. What? Did you just apply right now?
He's always, anytime R&B comes on, he applies.
No, I didn't apply.
That's
no,
so good,
no Jeff, I didn't apply. It's just, that's just, you know, that's just what it is.
And he has a Pavlovian response to R&B.
Look at the way he's smiling. He knows how good his lips look right now. Hey, stay out of Fort Lauderdale, huh? Keep away from my wife.
You're so stupid. I'm glad you think that, but. No, the chapstick thing is just rough. It's not. It doesn't.
It creates a moisture barrier between you and the elements.
Yeah, chapstick. Yeah. I've used both, but I use chapstick because in the winters in the Northeast,
this is great radio.
You need something heavy duty, man.
I once bought chapstick. My lips were so chapped. And I couldn't get to a place where it was. I was at the Masters, actually. Mm-hmm. And this woman in front of me, I could see in her bag, she had chapstick. And my lips were so chapped that I offered her $20 for a chapstick.
What?
Did
she give it to you?
Yeah, she did.
I just hope that you just cut
Slice the top
off.
Layer off?
Yes, I hope that you
did. I did, but I would have been fine not slicing the top layer off. That's how chapped
my lips
were.
There was an urgent need there.
I would have paid $100.
Right.
Well, speaking of chapped. Go ahead, Max.
So Nink and I were arguing yesterday because he's like, once Rogers says on this just in 2 yes. p.m. Eastern, handsome host. Once
you guys were exhausting on this, by the way.
Yeah, we were. Once me in particular. Once that Rogers said out loud, I want to go to the Jets. That's Nink somehow believed that gave the Packers leverage. When I'm like, no, the Packers are not going to let him in the building and ruin Jordan Love. They're not going to pay him $60 million for nothing. No other team's going to make a big offer when they think he doesn't want to be there. He just wants to be with the Jets. And so, if anything, it gives the Jets leverage. The reason the deal hasn't happened so far, in my view, is the Packers can't be sure that they have the Jets' best offer until right before the draft.
That's
they
right.
know that will be their best and final offer. So they're just waiting because that's the only way to be sure they got the best offer out of the Jets.
I don't disagree, but I do think the scary part is, like, what actually is the deadline? Is it the night before the draft? Is it when they're on the clock at 13th overall? And if you start to kind of mess with that, if you get too cute with this, that's where things get crazy. That's where things get weird, and that's where things go sideways. I ultimately think cooler heads will prevail on both sides. But it was an interesting exercise to hear you and Nink so adamantly arguing on two sides of things where it's not like your fandom is coming into play. Like, your passion was based on something I don't even really understand. Like, I'm being serious about that because it does suggest...
The understanding of leverage, apparently, is very important to both Nink and me.
Right,
I don't know.
Exactly, the understanding of leverage, for which both of you took a very... this felt like a political debate.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, Jeff, I side with Max, and I really don't do that a lot. But being in a situation and having played and traded and understanding how to be traded and all those sort of things, Max is right. The leverage is with the Jets. Because once as a player I say, I want to go to Jeff.
I agree.
Okay? I want to go to Jeff. No matter when you send me, I'm going to Jeff. I'm not going to go mess around with something else.
Yeah.
And once Aaron Rodgers says that, all leverage goes to the Jets. And you say, well, how could that be, Key? Because the Jets are looking Green Bay wants the 13th pick. Okay, they're not getting the 13th pick. They're not. They're just not going to get the 13th
pick. I do think that if I think that was a misstep. by Aaron Rodgers. And maybe it won't matter.
How so, though, Jeff?
No, it's a good move because you want to go to a team that doesn't have to give up as much for you, so you have a better shot.
You like that he ultimately said, I want to go to the Jets.
Yeah, it reminded
me of... took the leverage out of the Packers.
Yeah, it reminded me of the NBA. If James Harden says, I want to go to Brooklyn, Houston's hands are tied. No one else is going to step up with a huge package for a disgruntled superstar.
But the Jets' hands are tied, too.
No, they're not.
How does it tie the Jets' hands? Of course they want Aaron Rodgers. We already know that.
Okay, so they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. And the reason they're going to get Aaron Rodgers is because everybody in the Jets building is telling you, We're fine. Aaron Rodgers is going to play for us. They're already saying it.
Right, but if you're the Packers with the commodity, you could hold on and say, no. He's not.
But they can't.
Okay, so then what are you
going
to do? Money. What are you going to do?
And by the
you're
going
to just pay him $60 million to stay home?
And not get any draft compensation?
You're going to cut off your nose to spite your face? You're going to pay me $60 million to not get
Jeff
hit
is trying to get in on Heckle and Jekyll
head
here.
Yeah, if you exactly right. Yeah. If you guys were on the other side of this, I would argue the other side. Like, yeah. I think that that's the funny part about this. Ultimately, I'm convinced the cooler heads will prevail and the deal will just get done. But again, listening to the two of you passionately argue about it, I was like, wow, maybe both sides do really truly believe that they've got the leverage in this situation, and maybe this does get screwy. I don't know.
So here, quick on my own personal. So when I was with Jeff, you were probably like in high school at this time. So when I was being traded from the New York Jets, the Jets and Parcells and them called me and my agent. They said, hey, we're going to move him to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, I'm not going to Green Bay. I'll stay home. I'm not going to Green Bay. They realized because Bill knew me personally. He's like, yeah, he probably won't go to Green Bay. They came back. They said, well, Baltimore wants to offer us the fourth pick. I said, I'm not going to Baltimore.
And Baltimore's not going to give up what it takes to get you if you don't want to be there, right?
So then, he said, well, where do you want to go? I said, I'd rather go to Tampa Bay. They worked out a deal with Rich McKay for me to go to Tampa, and the deal was done. That's why I always say when a player says that's where they want to go, they usually get traded to that spot.
A good player, yeah.
You're right. Look, he is going to get traded there. I feel pretty confident that that's going to happen. But I do find it interesting that both sides really seem what is a fair compensation then?
I think if it's a first rounder, it has to be a future first rounder, right?
Yes.
But I don't know if it will
tied
be. I think it has to be tied to
if he plays beyond 2020.
If I'm Green Bay,
then
though,
you start adding a third, and if whoever out negotiates whom, it's going to be to the tune of an extra fifth round pick. It's not going to be much.
I don't want a future pick in this situation, though.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be better for the Jets and make them a better team than they will ever be from this point forward. So that 13th overall pick next year will probably be like the 30th overall pick because the Jets will be better.
How many years out can you trade a pick in the NFL?
Several. I don't know if there's like a – but you can go
–
remember the Rams did 2025?
Yeah, right. I mean, if I'm Green Bay – I might want to see if the Jets would give me a better pick 2 to 3 years from now, like some nice picks, because Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there probably 3 years from now.
This is what I wonder of what happens. I wonder if the Jets are ultimately, if they can look for a suitor with that 13th pick to move to, say, like 20.
Jeff, do you think, because this has been playing with my mind over the last several weeks, so to speak, do you think that, like in basketball, there's a player there at 13 that Green Bay says take, and then we could talk about that after the fact?
Man, that gets dicey though, right? Like, what I mean, that just all of a sudden you're dealing with I hear you, Key. I just think that you start, it gets messy, it gets a little bit dicey, and there's no objectivity at that point. But like, if you were to trade to down to like 20, you get the extra picks that you wanted. And then you give up that 20th overall pick instead of 13.
The Giants did.
Everyone, I've been saying it all along. Do I think the Jets have a little more leverage than anyone? Yes, I do. But
it's basically all
canceled.
It's
everyone
all
has a bit of leverage.
Yeah.
We will find out what the fair deal is right before the draft, because that will be the Jets' best offer. And I guarantee you, I assure you, the Packers will take it.
And all of us will move on and nobody will care.
Right. The only caveat is this. Woody Johnson might be foolish enough to do an end around the GM, Joe Douglas, who's doing a good job of negotiating, just like Jim Dolan did once upon a time in order to get Carmelo Anthony, and that would be foolish of him, but it wouldn't be the first time he's done something not that smart.
I hope for chaos is what I hope for.
You root for chaos.
I root for chaos.
Yeah. Jeff Darlington ESPN NFL reporter. What about with the weather? Do you root for chaos with the weather, too?
Gosh, Fort Lauderdale getting 25 inches of rain.
25 inches of rain. I was supposed to have Jeff Darlington on this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN, but he's got to go robe to his house.
Yeah. He knows what's up.
If Bryce Young goes to Carolina, should the Texans trade the second overall pick, KJM?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
KJM, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston, NFL Network draft analyst. Morning, Lance.
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good. Hey, Max.
Yo. Yes, sir.
Curveball.
What's up?
Slider.
Oh, I see what
curve
he's doing.
Ball.
I see what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, signaling.
I see what he's doing.
Yeah. Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. Are y'all going to, hey, are we going to get another pandemic so your teams can get some bubble championships? Let me know if a new pandemic's on the way.
Hard to win a championship against a stacked team when they know what's coming. Am I right?
Curveball, Lance. Let us throw you a nice curve.
What's the Texans' plan?
Curves were three hit slaps on the trash can.
There you go.
Get it right.
What's the Texans' plan with the number two pick?
Honestly, I don't know, but I think it's complicated because, ultimately they know. Here's the things you have to factor in. I think the ownership is going to be more, potentially have a little heavier hand in some of the decision-making. So if that happens, I think they go quarterback at two, and I think they would be willing to take C.J. Stroud. I think they want Bryce Young. They want Bryce Young. Now, they're going to make it sound like they got two and they can't decide which two and they have two equally. I don't think that's the actual thing that's going on there. You want to maintain your leverage. You don't want any team like Carolina using that against you to try to force you up to the number one spot, which I think is still possible. I think the Texans could still get panicked and feel like, okay, we got to have Bryce Young. Let's move up and give them the first pick of the second round, see if they'll take that. Because no one else is going to trade with Carolina. So maybe they could get something from Houston for Bryce Young. But if Bryce Young is a first pick for Carolina, then I think it's potentially complicated because I'm not sure that the Texans will just lock in on C.J. Stroud, not if they have a clear number one with Bryce Young. Now, I think the percentages would tell you they would, but because they have first-round picks next year, multiple picks because of the Deshaun Watson trade, because they have a number 12 pick in this year's draft, they have the potential to take the top defensive player on their board, which is a huge need for D'Amico Ryans, and then to take their second pick in the first round, package it with future draft capital, and move up into, the top five spots for a quarterback as well if they chose to do it. So they still have that ability to do that. I think trading back becomes a little more tricky But the real decision is going to be how much do they like C.J. Stroud, and are they willing to, you know, hit reset button with C.J. Stroud? I think the odds are over 50%, yes, just so we're clear. But I don't think it's the lock that everyone believes.
You know, Lance, you've been covering the NFL draft and doing your mock drafts and studying tape. And you and I sat down and we studied a little bit of tape together. And so when you look at it, Davis Mills had a first-round grade by many a year or so ago by many teams in the National Football League. And now all of a sudden there's this noise that they want to move on from a guy that's never really gotten a full opportunity or chance. And we talk about D'Amico Ryans, and I was telling the guys here, he's a defensive-minded coach. And when you have a defensive-minded coach coming from a situation in San Francisco where he knows that you do not have to have Aaron Rodgers to get to deep run in the playoffs as well as a Super Bowl, you can do it with pedestrian, so to speak, type quarterbacks that's very serviceable with a solid and sound defense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tony Dungy loaded up on the defensive side. When you talk about first-time head coaches and Mike Tomlin, drafted defensive players. Defensive-minded coaches like defensive picks early in their careers. Why wouldn't they just go defense?
Well, I mean, they could. And the point you make is the Kyle Shanahan offense, which is where Bobby Slowick, the new offense coordinator, comes from. He was worked with the passing game over there. You know, it's – hey, Kyle Shanahan had Matt Schaub throwing for, you know, over 4,000 yards. Schaub had his greatest season ever under Kyle Shanahan in 2009. Kyle Shanahan won an MVP for Matt Ryan. He was part of it, obviously. It was his offense. Kyle Shanahan was the offense coordinator when RG3 won Rookie of the Year. He helped get Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. He helped Brock Purdy with that offense. It is a quarterback-friendly offense. Key, you're right about that. And so I think that's a good point. I think, you know, Davis Mills, to me, I don't know if he's a first-rounder. He had 11 starts in his career when he came into the league. Has he had the opportunity? No, but he was a third-round pick, and third-round picks don't get the same runway the first-round picks do. And Malik Willis may find that out in Tennessee. So, you know, I think getting the right dude at quarterback can be important for the face of a franchise, because the Texans are trying to win back fans, and nothing does that more than a really top-notch quarterback. But from just a ball standpoint, if we're just talking ball, you can take that passing attack. Maybe Davis Mills in year three with better weapons is a much better quarterback. In fact, odds are he will be a better quarterback in this offense with better weapons. Case Keenum's also with Houston. You know, he could compete for that job as well. If they wanted to kick the can down the road and draft quarterback next year, they could. If they wanted to go Hendon Hooker later in the draft, potentially, they could do that as well. So I don't think it's the point you made is a good one, in that that is one of the forks in the road that could be taken by the Texans. It's not just C.J. Stroud, run the card up, and next. There's a discussion being had right now. I promise you that.
Well, those were really excellent answers. You were right on the questions. As a matter of fact, we may have to launch an investigation. It's possible that you were tipped.
Listen, I don't know if you like got Altuve, the questions in advance. I just have ability. Producers.
Yeah,
I have ability.
You have ability. You have ability.
No, have ability.
Meantime, I noticed that you're acting as though you're wearing a wire. Somehow Shannon is giving you these questions
ahead of time. Lance doesn't want anyone to notice his tattoo, Max.
Oh, is that
this
right?
This thing again.
Lance.
Hey, y'all remember when Cody Bellinger was MVP?
He said it, not me.
Yeah. Altuve had to think of some reason why he had to keep his
shirt
on.
Hey, buddy, you had that tattoo. You got that tattoo made 5 years ago.
Lance Erline, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston, NFL Draft Network analyst. Thank you, Lance.
All right, Lance.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, brother. How much are you willing to pay? I can't say this on the radio. I'm going to say
not?
It. How much are you willing to pay for inches after this word from Granger?
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge
and experience
to answer your toughest question. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. So simply just call, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, I wish I was a little taller too, Key. I believe, and I don't even know what height I am now because I'm almost 50. So, you know, you start to shrink over time. But I was 5'11" when I stopped growing, right? And a man's supposed to be 6 feet tall. So that always bothered me.
Get some platforms.
A Minnesota man spent 170 G's on painful surgery.
What?
I can't even talk about this. It makes me queasy. It's so nauseating to think about. To grow taller by 5 inches.
What? Well, I mean, if you want to spend $170, what's the painful surgery, though? Like, what did they inject in him?
Moses Gibson, 41,
mm-hmm.
spent more than $170,000 on 2 leg lengthening surgeries. Ouch! Oh, I hate the thought of this.
So
he was
5'5". Okay.
He wanted to be more attractive to women.
Okay.
He's a self-described go-getter. He saved 75 G's for the surgery over the course of 3 years, working as a software engineer by day and an Uber driver by night, in order to make the money. I feel so bad for this dude that he feels this way, that he needed the... I mean, I get it. If you're a 5'5 guy, you'd like to be taller. I get it. But,
come on, Max.
Damn, man.
Just get to the story because you're getting ready. Oh. You're making me feel sad, and I don't even know the whole story yet.
This guy Gibson underwent the procedure in 2016, which added 3 inches to his height. So from 5'5", which is really, as a guy, you're like, okay, I'm unusually short, to 5'8", which is sort of like low side of average range, right?
5'5 and 5'8, but it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same, though. To you, it is, because you're 6'4". But to most people, if you see a dude who's 5'5", it's noticeable. That's a really short guy. If you see a dude who's 5'8", he's a short guy, but it's not unusually short.
Yeah, but then if he's 5'8", somebody said, well, he's between 5'5 and 5'8". I'd be like, oh, okay, that's about right.
No, but 5'5", you're shorter than me. You're looking eye to eye with most women, whereas as a man, if he's 5'8", he's taller than most women. I understand.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Right.
During the excruciating surgery, doctors broke Gibson's tibia and fibula bones and screwed magnetic limb-lengthening nails into them. Ouch!
What?
He now uses a height-lengthening device. I can't, Shannon, I resent the fact that we're doing this story. It's so disturbing.
So wait.
He uses a height-lengthening device 3 times a day in order to pull the cut bone apart a millimeter at a time. I'm going to throw up.
So somebody, okay.
Yeah.
Basically broke the ankle and stuck some plates in to lengthen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Max can't even read it without holding his legs.
No doubt. You ever see the movie Gattaca?
Are we talking about just breaking or sawing? I mean, I'm trying to understand.
Key, you're doing this on purpose now.
No, I'm serious.
I swear to God. It's
they
so
broke
disturbing.
His legs, Key. And
I understand you breaking it, but it's not. If you break it, how are you stretching it?
The nails and the device allows them to expand and lengthen the length of the leg over time. So he has to do this process 3 times a day.
See, I'm not doing that, though.
And I know it hurt because it can't tickle.
And he did this because he wanted to be more attractive to women?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, that $170, I can find some love for $170,000.
But not
it
only
feel
that,
good.
you got a lot of short dudes throughout history. Some most popular, I don't know what James Dean was or someone like that, but he wasn't tall. I'll bet you probably not 5'5", but I bet you wasn't even 5'8 or 5'9".
There's a lot of bad things that can happen with you breaking stuff and doing surgeries, man. Things could get infected and all sorts of stuff.
5'8", James Dean.
So he really must have been going through some stuff mentally or something like that to feel like that he had to do that to be more attractive.
There's a movie called Gattaca, which is the gene sequence, right? About the not too distant future, and people can rearrange their DNA. But some people decided to have, you know, to get be the best versions of themselves. The parents can decide before they're born, select out different traits. But there's this one dude who his parents just did it the old-fashioned way, right? And because of that, he had certain genetic flaws that excluded him from being an astronaut, which is what he wanted to be. So he underwent almost the exact same procedure in Gattaca, which is an excellent movie, by the way. He underwent the same procedure, which was nauseating to watch, but it was because he had a dream of flying into space, the thing he wanted to do with his life. I understand it feels very different when someone has
a
goal.
Max, this is real.
But my point is, when someone has a goal in their life that feels worthwhile to pursue, I understand going through extreme lengths. What's disturbing to me about this is societal pressure to be a certain way affecting a guy because he feels like he can't attract women without doing that. To me, that's, I don't know, not good enough motivation, I guess.
No, but that was essentially the same thing that you and I talked about the lip fillers and stuff, trying to
same thing.
Because you feel that you have to have a certain appearance for society to look a certain way or feel a certain way. In doctors, in all honesty, doctors shouldn't even want to perform these type of surgeries.
100%.
They shouldn't. And I understand that you know, it's money and they're feeling a need and all that, but that's just too much for me.
Now, Shannon wants to ask a question, and I imagine, Shannon, I'll answer it ahead of time.
Yes?
Yes, it's easy for me to say because I look the way I do. I understand everything works. I know it's easy for me to say. I wasn't always like this. I was an awkward child.
Is that what that is? All right, well, a question for you guys. So as a member of the under 6 foot delegation here on KJM, along with Nuno, shout out to Nuno. Do you guys, Key, for the folks who are over 6 foot, do you use the half size? Because I tell everybody every day I'm 5'10 and a half. Like, once you get over a certain height, when do you stop using the half?
No.
When you're over 6 foot, Shan.
I've never had that issue.
No, but Key, you were listed at over 6 foot. You're like 6'4 and a half.
Yeah, but
right?
I've never. No, 6'4.
Oh, I thought it was.
I've never. I was 6'2. I was 6'1. I've never been like I'm 6'1 and a half.
Yeah, they're not sweating that stuff.
This isn't. Max, you know L.A., they don't really know the streets of L.A. This is not living on Pico and La Brea and saying I live right outside of Beverly Hills. This is not.
Adjacent. I'm Beverly Hills adjacent.
Yeah, Beverly Hills adjacent.
I'm Beverly Hills not, post office.
No, this is not that.
Yeah.
No, I'm legit 6'4".
Yeah. Well,
but listen. But look, man, I feel like you got me feeling sad for the individual.
Oh, I do.
Because that is a lot to feel that way, that pressure. To want to be taller, you know, and like I said, that $170,000 plus that he's going to continue to keep spending, as Yates was saying, I can go find some attractive women.
Plus,
like
this dude motivated as hell. If he has to go get it in him like that, he doesn't really need.
Go buy me a whip.
I told you this. My late great brother Sam used to say about Bushwick Bill, right? Yeah. Remember him? My mind's playing tricks on me. He had the nightmare. This dude stood about 6 or 7 feet. That's the creep I'll be seeing in my sleep, right? And my brother's like, yo, there's a big difference between 6 and 7 feet, right? But to Bushwick Bill, it's just all really tall. You see, like, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the point.
So now dude's 5'8 and a half now, right?
5'8 and a half. Just leave it alone. Will Zion ever live up to the height? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.